You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, Hannies. It's Amir Yasai, and you're back for season two of The Take On.
Hi, y'all. It's Amir Yas. You're back with The Take On. I'm here with Bryce Sander from Entertainment Tonight. I've been following you, all of the Bravo news, the drag queens. I mean, you interview everyone. I'm obsessed with your Instagram, and I'm sure a lot of people listening are. How are you? What's going on?
Oh, I'm great. What a lovely way to be introduced.
That's me. I like to uplift. You know, I think when you spend a lot of time in a closet and you come out with full force. So I like to uplift. You know, you never know what people are carrying. So I always like to make sure my guests feel comfortable. It's like a clubhouse with a lot less shade. So that's what we're trying to create.
Awesome, I love it.
Awesome. Listen, I get all the DMs from y'all. I hear you. I know you want me to be shady, but I am not bringing, you know, there's a lot of shady people that slide into my DMs that want to expose housewives, etc. I don't do that game. So you can go elsewhere. There's a lot of podcasts doing that. So I don't do that. just want to make that clear. I've been getting lots of DMs. Like they want me to be more shady, but no. Bryce, thank you so much for being here. And I want to ask you right off the top, let's keep it light. And then we'll get a little deeper. But who's your favorite person that you've talked to? And like the whole I've done so many interviews like you. You do hundreds of them. They start to blend together. But what's one person where you were like, oh my God, this is so fun. I'm so present. Like I love this person. I'm all about them.
Oh, I mean, that's like hard because it is every time you do an interview, it's like a child totally. You've birthed. So it's always hard. I would go to keep it housewivesy. There are some that I've gotten, you know, you speak to them over and over again. So it becomes this kind of weird half professional thing and half like friend thing. And like, I have quite the bond with Tamra Judge, who I know can be a controversial housewife, but she's someone who always shows up, takes time, and has things to say, which I appreciate. And it's not always tune in, watch and see. No, she tells you what she's thinking. She tells you what's going on, which I appreciate because that's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear, watch the show. They're already doing that.
Like we're already watching the show. I've like literally gone back and forth with like publicists for like months and the person came on and they're like, it's like pulling teeth. I'm like, why are you even on here then? If you're not going to tell me anything, you're watch and wait. The show's premiering. I'm like, why are you even here then? You're talking about your business? That's so boring. Like nobody wants to cares.
Yeah, that is such an interesting line to walk because they all got products, they all got a side hustle, and you got to respect that. But that's not what people are here to listen to or watch.
It's not a TED Talk, whatever. You know, like I had someone on from New York. I won't say who, but like she literally just kept promoting her product. I mean, you probably know who I'm talking about. Former housewives from New York. It's not hard for anyone to put it together. But anyway, she was so sweet, but all she did was hawk products. And I'm like, people want to know the shade. Like they want like the curtain revealed a little bit more. So, but yeah, that's how the cookie crumbles. But I wanted to also ask you, was there anyone that you were surprised about that you were like, wait, I had a certain impression of them. And then when you talk to them, you were like, wait, they're not really like that. Maybe it's a persona on the show.
Oh, not in Housewives. Those women are who they are. And I always, give the, like, I don't know, the grain of salt that when people know they're going to be on camera, they're usually on their best behavior and they come to perform. So I think my experience with a lot of people is different than if you meet them out in the wild, you know, like if you're just running into them at a restaurant, they're not working at that point. But I will say RuPaul turns it on, turns it off. And he will tell you that up front. He was like, he's like, when the red light comes on, I will become a different person. Just know that it's happening.
Interesting. I'm kind of not surprised by that. I feel like RuPaul is such a professional, knows how to kind of go in and out of it and knows what to say. Like even the whole, like the ranch and the fracking, like RuPaul is so good with saying stuff. He won't say it, but like, we'll get the internet like a fire. And I'm like, that's as a publicist for 15 years, like that is the kind of client you want. I had clients like that, that would say little nuggets in the press and then go, everyone will go crazy, whether or not it was true or not. Like they were so good at the nuggets. Like, and that's what I, as an interviewer, live for. Cause like I've interviewed certain people and I'm like, oh my God, you're such a nugget dropper. Like this is so fun. Yeah. Like that's when it becomes fun.
Well, and that's the thing that's fun in like the, cause it's a little bit of a game, right? Of you're reading everybody's interviews or watching interviews they've done elsewhere and being like, okay, what's the thread I can pull on to get, take this further. So those nuggets are what you live for.
And it totally is like a thread. That was my next question. Because a lot of people ask me this, like what makes a good interviewer? How do you interview people? Like, how do you get them comfortable? Like for you, is it like, is it research? Cause I don't do any research. Like, and it's so funny because people always give me shit for this. They're like, but what? So I'll literally like just Google a couple things and then I'll go to their Instagram and that's all I do. Like with you, I was following you, so I watched your videos, but like most of the time I kind of go in pretty blind. So I'm curious as to what your process is. Like, cause you said something about pulling the thread and like, but then also there's people that kind of will shut you down. So like, and then how do you navigate once you are shut down or have you been shut down?
Oh yeah. The pushback. So yeah, I do try and do like a decent amount of research cause I don't want to do too much because sometimes you have to ask the obvious to get to the place you want to go. And so you can't ignore certain things. But if they've done a press blitz within like the last month or so, I'll look around, watch those interviews, read those interviews, see what stones weren't overturned or like what they said that the person didn't follow up on. And then the pushback, it depends on what it is. Like if the publicist is jumping in to be like, we're not going there, then it's like, okay. I only have so much room to fight. If it's the person trying to shut it down, I might say, I usually try to pivot and say, okay, well, let me ask that question in a different way. Let me see if you'll, you know, talk about this or that. Like I was with Leah McSweeney from New York the other day, and she didn't want to really comment on Sonia's mental state, which I totally get, sensitive topic. But I pivoted to be, well, then what's your reaction when you're watching this? Instead of like, what do you think's going on? You're in a room with this person who's acting unwell. And then she answered that. So that's, it's a dance. The whole interview thing is you have to make someone feel comfortable. You have to make them feel, it's such a weird relationship because I know so much about these people who I talk to and they know little to nothing about me, even the people who have been in my orbit for years and years and years. And I always think about how strange that is where I have this kind of friendly dynamic with a lot of people, but they know nothing about
me. Isn't that funny? It's kind of funny because like, I'm also like you, very friendly with a lot of housewives, like Deandra, like Dr. Contessa from Married to Medicine. There's a bunch of people that I'm like very, very friendly with, but I don't think they know anything about me.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, what do they know about me? But I'm not going to take time when I have it with them to ask them. Cause
well, it's a kind of a dance too, right, Bryce? Like you want to kind of share a certain amount. And I've gotten like, you know, people will like be shady and be like, oh, Amir is always talking about himself. But sometimes like you have to do share a little bit to make that, especially if that person's not comfortable, because I've interviewed like people from Netflix shows. I've interviewed like drag queens. There's certain people that are like very much on, like you said, like a RuPaul. Then when you do kind of, it comes to being on camera, they're like, sometimes it's like pulling teeth. So then you're like, wait a second, like I need to share a little bit of my life to make you comfortable. Have you ever come across that dynamic?
Yeah, you got to drop little nuggets of like I'll mention my boyfriend here and there just so people are like, I'm a human.
You're not just some shady person that's trying to exp- I feel like there's a level of like, because the Bravo universe is kind of shady, maybe there's like a fear that we're trying to like kind of be messy as well. So I always try to kind of navigate that where I'm like, I don't want clickbait, but then I also do because it's like, it's on my podcast. It's on my Instagram. So like when Jill Zarin was on, like I had to ask her about Bethany, right? And she didn't love it. But like that ended up being the main story that I got out of her, right? Because like she's like, I don't want to talk about this anymore. And I was just like, and that enough, that in of itself was enough to get press, right? So we have to be strategic, but also respect our guests. It's an interesting dance. It's very odd.
Well, yeah, I try to set the precedent, especially for housewives. It's like, and I think a lot of them view press this way anyway. It's your chance to speak what you believe the truth to be or what you want the narrative to be, because they have no control over the show, but they do have control over what they say in an interview. They don't have control over how it's packaged or what the pull quotes are and all that. But so I try and set that tone of, this is your chance to set this record straight, to share your point of view, to fill in the gaps. That's how I go into all the interviews. Is I'll watch the episodes and I lurk a lot in a lot of like fan pages and, you know, Instagram accounts where they're asking questions and trying to poke holes. And those are where I pull a lot of ideas from of, okay, the casual viewer is interested in this. The super fan's interested in this. Can we dig into, you know, X, Y, and Z a little bit more and try and get those nuggets that don't get addressed on the show?
That makes a lot. So you're a lurker. We love a lurker. I love it.
Yeah, I don't really participate in any of the groups or pages, but I lurk.
It's good to lurk. It's good to lurk on those, you know, and know kind of what's, and I do that as well. Like I'll look at the TikToks and the Instagrams and the Reddits. I love Bravo Reddit. So I get a lot of information from there. So it's a lot of little tea that's being spilled left and right. I want to ask you about, okay, so when you want to ask a shady question, I mean, I've been doing this. I feel like Andy Cohen does this too at reunions. He's like, you know, Maisie in Orlando is wondering. I'm like, is she real? So I do the whole, like, someone DM'd me, right? Like, when I had Carrie on, I was like, you know, Carrie from Real Housewives of Dallas. I was like, oh, you know, the fans. And there was no fans. Like, it was me. So how do you navigate some of, I mean, unless you don't want to tell us your trade secrets, but how do you navigate that?
No,
like,
I mean,
if you want to ask something shady.
You can watch. Yeah, I mean, you can watch the interviews and see how I do it. I usually just try to be straightforward. I'm like, you did this thing. It's making no sense. Okay, can you explain it? Or like, even with Carrie, I said to her, you're coming off not great this season. Like, are we missing something? Do you like who you are? I just try to be as upfront about it as possible with that in the back of my head / what I've told them. This is your chance to say your piece on it. So that's how I approach those. I'd rather be upfront about it than try and dance.
That makes sense.
And
it's a lot more kind. And with her, you realize, because I've been quite friendly with her for a while now. And I realize, I mean, obviously you're going through a divorce while being filmed. Like, and I feel like the producers sometimes don't let you be that be your storyline because they want to create a certain narrative. So it's kind of tough. And then, you know, this is another question that I was thinking about is as well, like, when it comes to Bravo shows, how much of it do you think, are you ever on the side of like, okay, maybe this person was edited badly? Or do you really just think, no, that's not a thing. That's just an excuse.
Oh, I'll always give someone the benefit of the doubt that we're not seeing the full story. They can't make you say or do something you didn't do.
That's true.
So whatever airs on TV is reality in some sense, but I mean, I think we're watching this with the whole like Portia Fallon thing unfolding.
I need to
right
ask you
now.
About that, so we need to go there.
They're making a show at the end of the day. Situations are a little bit manipulated. Fallon, obviously, from what I can, you know, surmise from the details that have come out, was a casting find who had no real connection to this group, who then was, you know, she probably had one off-camera meeting with Portia where they had a chemistry test and or what. I don't know the full insides of how they do casting. Like, I know a little bit, but not all of it. And then they brought her on the show and they put a chyron on of Portia's friend, but that's the truth for TV. That's not the truth of
reality. Right. And also LaToya was Candy's friend and then became Candy's friend. So I feel like this whole like friend of thing is kind of a little bit arbitrary now. And I was rewatching the Bolo thing and I was like watching when Drew and LaToya are fighting over husbands and I see Fallon. I'm like, oh my God, is she interacting with Portia at all? But there's never any direct interaction between Portia. And again, I'm not defending Portia. I don't really, that's her life. But I was like watching it like a detective. I was like on my living room floor, like, okay, Fallon is interacting. Is she interacting with Portia? But there wasn't any direct interaction. Again, not saying it's fine what went down. But if her ex-husband or like ex-fiance, whatever, is like celebrating Mother's Day, like he's fine with it. And then Fallon seems to kind of moved on from it. I'm like, part of me is like, why are we vilifying the woman in all of that? Like, why are we going after Portia? Because I think a lot of people are really upset,
right?
And like unfollow and all of those like hate groups. Part of me is like, why aren't we mad at the husband at all? Like, no one's even bringing up Simon. So, yeah.
Or it's like, do we even need to be mad That's at anyone? Thing. I would just like to know the timeline yes, and the facts yes. that we're all on the same page.
Because that's the fans. Thing. We want the timeline.
Right. And I feel like Portia might be like the Atlanta cast is kind of all like this, where they only let you know what they want mm-hmm. you to know. They're, I think outside of Candy, the rest of them keep stuff close to the vest. Candy lays it all out there, you know, does her weekly YouTube right. show to be like, here's the real story. But
that's for business too, because you know she's launching, it's always launching a product, right? So she's like, even though she's sharing, she's like, it's a restaurant. And then I'm waiting for her to open just like a dungeon themed restaurant. I feel like that's next, right? Like, yeah.
Well, the next thing is she's Bravo confirmed today, but it's like the worst kept secret that she's getting a Vanderpump Rules style show about the OLG restaurant. No.
But I do like her aunts. I do, I'm not going to lie. The aunts are pretty entertaining. I'm not going to lie. So it could be good.
I mean, I'm still sad. You know, Bravo filmed a pilot years ago that was like the moms of Bravo giving people advice. And it was like Mama D and Mama Joyce. And I think maybe like Vita, MJ's mom from Shaws of Sunset. And it just didn't go anywhere. But it was all these outspoken mother
That's
figures.
Giving me life.
And I think it was like set up like a court show where they were the judges and they would come in and hear
that
your
sounds
case.
Sounds amazing. I feel like HBO or Peacock should pick that up right now and do it. HBO Max.
Well, yeah, Peacock is ordering a lot of stuff, so maybe it'll come back around. But I would, I'm fascinated by those women, especially like Mama Dion Dallas. I need
amazing.
To know so
she's
much.
She's amazing.
More.
Those wigs, like I just, she's like kind of like, she's like Pat from Southern Charm on crack. Like she's just another level of Patricia. So I love all that. I'm all about that. I want to ask you about this whole like All Stars Vacation Housewives. What are your thoughts? I don't know if the casting was great. Cynthia, really? Because I'm not really happy with it.
Oh, I mean, I'm interested to see it. I do think people like Cynthia and Melissa, mm-hmm. people don't give them their dues. You need people who are kind of like quote unquote
True.
Normal around
True.
Sometimes to move stuff forward, or else it's just like
a lot of Ramona
screaming at
yeah,
each
you're
other.
Right, you're right.
Yeah. So that I am always, and Andy Cohen even says that it's because you know, every season people are like, get Cynthia off the show. But then who would everyone talk to? She is the like ear that
That's
everybody
a good point.
Turns
That's a good
to.
Point. Even at the reunion, Cynthia like didn't speak. I was like, she only spoke about her wedding and that was it in the three parts. I was like, I didn't hear her once. I was like, what the heck? Crazy.
I know. There was a lot of moving parts in that reunion. But for the mashup show, I'm excited for it. My fear is, or question is, how will they establish this new world they've created? Like, is it going to be Kyle Richards saying, I wanted an escape, so I called up my girlfriends and we're at a villa that the agency owns? Or will they, like, give a nod to the fourth wall of, we're all housewives and Bravo's toss us in a house together.
I like when they do that. I like when they break the fourth wall. And that's what I love about Summer House is that I'm friends with Hannah and I know that shit went down and a lot of people are very upset at her. But even that, it's like letting down that fourth wall. Like, I like that they let us in a little more. I don't know if I'm going to watch Winter House and Summer House and Winterfell and all that. But I will. I did enjoy that Summer House was just like, yeah, it's pandemic. We're just going to stick these people in a house and you're just going to deal with it. So I liked that. I thought they kind of just let us like enjoy it for what it was.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was their best season yet. As hard of a season as it was for mm-hmm. Hannah, I think them being stuck together created real drama and tension, or like fake drama that turned into mm-hmm. real tension.
And everyone could relate to that, right? Because like we were all stuck with our families or our roommates or our friends, and,
right.
and things get dicey. Like you not putting a dish away could be World War III. Like when you're, or taking out the trash. Like I was talking to Hannah and I was like, yeah, taking out the trash, like I would yell at people in my house and I'm not even on a show. So I can understand why things would go so south. But, you know, it's funny because Bravo's chat room got a lot of shit, right? Like it was, people were like, oh, this is not the thing. And then I felt like now it's like all of those three women, Giselle, Portia, and Hannah, have a lot of haters, but have a lot of people that love them, and they're all on a show together. So I kind of feel like the three of them are kind of cool with being hated a little bit now. It's like, oh, whatever. Like we have this other show where we can kind of speak our truth and it be backed by Bravo. So I thought that kind of the whole chat room thing did end up kind of being a good thing for them.
Well, and on that line, it's like there have to be people you hate. If you like everyone, the show's right. going to be boring. Right. So, and that you have to remember, for as much as you might not like that person, somebody, that's their favorite person.
Which
on
I
the
never,
show.
It's so funny because it's so hard for me to fathom. Like, I think Kenya is beautiful, but when people like love her, I have trouble. I'm like, what do you love? But that's the whole excitement, right? Like, it's more exciting to kind of quote unquote hate people that you don't even know, right? And then you meet them, you're like, this person's kind of lovely. Like, I remember when I met Lala, I was like, she was going to rub me the wrong way. And she was absolutely great.
Oh, Lala's great. And Kenya, I will say my first interview with Kenya, the circumstances were bizarre. Like we were having to shoot in this space that wasn't really meant for shooting. She brought King and Twirl with her. It was chaotic. And I walked away being like, that wasn't my best. And I couldn't place mm-hmm. what it was. But I've gotten to talk to her a ton of times since then. And she is someone who comes to the camera and has some things to say. So it's like, also, I think it's also sometimes hard to judge people based off of one interaction. And that one interaction could be you watching them on the show. Like that's a consistent interaction.
Right.
But also like when people are like, I met this person one time and they were an absolute a-hole. It's like, well, maybe they're having an off day, or maybe you were
there
having
you
an off day.
Yeah, I mean, and even though I did a whole TikTok video that went viral about me and Erica Jane's interaction, she was probably having a bad day. But like, you know, and I was off. You just never kind of know, right? And that's
right.
I did it because I know that like people respond to that kind of stuff, and they want the inside scoop. So like at the end of the day, I don't have any hard feelings. If I see her, I'm like, kudos to you. Like I don't really have a problem with anyone, but at the end of the day, like it is kind of fun to like be like, oh, this person sucks, or it's like you get invested, right? Like the reason we watch Vanderpump Rules, even though Jax was like an asshole, it's like fun to watch, right? So all of those different dynamics make a good show, you know, and you remember the villains sometimes. So that's what I wanted to ask you about, because you did this great interview with Ramona, and like I felt like she was like, she gets villainized, but like vilified. Oh, it's vilified. My English. She gets vilified a lot, but like she is fun to watch. Like when I saw her at the, you know, the last two episodes of Roni, I'm like, oh my god, she's so fun. Like even if she does fucked up shit and calls the wrong person to help and does all that, it's like, she posts, you know, her bank statements. Like you asked her about that. That's kind of what we love about her. And we also have to remember she's like 60 something. Like
I was gonna say, I think she's 64.
Yeah, like give her a break.
She's a woman who grew up in a bubble of white mm-hmm. privilege. And it's like, we're in this weird, it feels like a tipping point almost, where people are expecting reality stars to
role
be
models.
Moral compasses,
not.
Yeah, and it's like the reason we're watching them is because they're the exact opposite of that, and you need to give them room to mess up, and then also room to learn from messing up, because I feel like that's the space we're in, where it's people have messed up, they've been removed from their shows, and then we never learn if they've actually grown, changed.
Well, they say I read a book on white privilege. I'm like, did that book really change your, like that kind of stuff?
Right.
To me, annoys me.
It's like,
I'm like, that's fake.
But I'm like, but throw cameras in front of their face, show me what they're doing. And that's there. Then there's like evidence of they have changed or they haven't, versus you can tell me all day what you did or
but
didn't
I'd like
do.
To see the progress. Like for example, with Shep, when he posted that video of the homeless woman, then he actually acknowledged it and was able to move forward. But then there's also, I get it, there's like another point of view where it's like, you're giving a problematic possible racist a platform. So then I understand both perspectives, but I kind of like the way you said it. Cause it's like, I'd like to see Kelly Dodd learn, you know, and move for if it's possible. And then you call yourself Black, and then that's a whole other thing. But it's like, so I don't know. It's like, but then it's entertaining, right? Like, what do we remember from OC? I don't remember anyone else except Bronwyn and Kelly Dodd. So,
right. It's like, give them the space to show they've mm-hmm. changed or show they haven't changed, and then make right. the decision of what their right. future is. And I also think a lot of us live in a bubble of social media where we surround ourselves with people who have similar opinions mm-hmm. or point mm-hmm. of views. And you have to remember there's a whole world outside of your phone where people don't agree Amen. With you and support what Kelly and whoever else is
exactly
doing.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's I live in Orange County, so I see a lot of the right and Trump supporters, etc. And that's fine. It's like everyone gets to have an opinion. That's a whole perspective. But like, I think it's when you become hurtful, and that's when it goes too far, right? Like with Vanderpump Rules, it's like right. sometimes you go too far left, and it's like, wait a second, you're not just a racist; you're actually like actively trying to take someone down. Then okay. That, but then totally. Even then, like it is nice to hear that, like, okay, Stassi's done the work, or because I'm friends with Ariana, so I kind of get little inside scoops, and it's like, okay, like she's trying, she's learning, and that's, you know, like you said, it would be nice to maybe have a special where it's like, update, they're doing this or something. I don't know.
I like that. It's like, you don't get to keep your full time yeah. job, but we'll give you a one-off special.
We'll give you a one-off special. Like, what have you learned from your, you know, racist tendencies? Like, and I mean, I think Bravo sometimes wants to uplift, but like, I think it has to happen from like a higher level, like at an executive level. Like I was talking to Mariah Huck from Married to Medicine, and you know, the way she was fired. There's a lot of stuff at Bravo that's happened that I think things are getting loose, and you know, there's different people kind of coming up, and so I think that there is a lot of changes. I think Bravo in the next 10 years will be a lot more representative of culture at large, but that all this stuff takes time, and I think we're moving in that right direction, so I love it. I got this question a lot, and this is not one of my tactics, I promise. A lot of people wanted to know like how you got involved with Entertainment Tonight, and like how does someone go about starting kind of on their Instagram or maybe like on TikTok and then transitioning to a more like, you know, Entertainment Tonight kind of level.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's no one clear path and everyone's story is very mm-hmm. different. I went to journalism school and then I worked at this video news startup called Newsy, which is much bigger now than it was when
blew
I worked
up.
There.
Newsy blew up. I was like, because I connected with them when I had clients, like when I was a publicist. And during the election, they were like freaking everywhere. I was like,
well, yeah, because they hit the like streaming platforms at just mm-hmm. the right time, where they were kind of the cable news, mm-hmm. if you will, of if you had a streaming box and were a cable cutter. I worked there when it was more of a content studio. We made a lot of videos on behalf of other people. Like my first job was making videos as if I worked at AOL and the Huffington Post.
Okay.
And so I worked there for a little bit and made connections there. And then I left because it was based in Missouri, and all my love to Missouri, did not want to live in Missouri. And then I went and worked at BuzzFeed for the hottest minute, like less than 6 months. And someone I worked with at Newsy wound up at Entertainment Tonight and said, there's a position here if you want it. And I wanted it. So I moved out to LA and worked like a 5 a.m. shift writing news copy. And I realized there was kind of a hole in the market. We weren't covering as a brand reality TV in a meaningful way, at least not like in a fan-driven way. It was very, this was 6 years ago. So it was kind of like coming out of the Mama June era of reality TV, where everything was kind of like scandalous and only if it's like botched plastic surgery right. and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, there's a whole audience of people who are interested in kind of the intricacies of these people's mm-hmm. lives. And I had this idea for this show called Housewives Happy Hour that we made for a little while, where it was just like pour a drink and let's play games and do an interview in a gamified way. And it just evolved into, oh, I can't make Housewives Happy Hour all the time because it's such a big lift, but I can do multiple interviews a week with people. And that's how it happened. That's the short-ish version of events.
I love that. I mean, you know what it is? It's really about networking too. Any job I've gotten, it's all about, like, I always say, it doesn't matter if you went to Harvard or like the best journalism school and the best whatever. It's about people that want to necessarily have lunch with you. They hire people they want to hang out with. Because a lot of these jobs were like before the pandemic, I worked at AfterBuzz. And it's like, you're working there like till midnight with all these people and like creating all this content. And it can be very like, you're on top of each other. So if someone has a bad attitude, it's kind of takes the air out of the room. So I think at the end of the day, it's those networking and the contacts.
Oh, 100%. It's like 90% mm-hmm. who you know and just 10% of what True. You know, because so much of where you, what you learn is on the job
itself. Oh my
God,
yeah.
Like I think I would cringe if I watched. Tamara was my very first interview at ET. And I think I would cringe if I went back and watched it because I was just like, I didn't know what I was doing. I was pretending like I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know.
That's funny. I have cringy videos too. Like people will send them to me and I'm like, oh no. But you know, you'd get better. I mean, people see us and they're like, oh, it looks so easy, but it's a skill.
It is such a skill. And that's what always, it's like, I've learned to not read the comments, but when people are like, this interview was terrible, I'm like, you don't know what this, one, you don't know what the raw footage looked like and all the things that had to be cut out or, you know, moved around. And yeah, it's not easy to make someone feel comfortable and like they can open up about their life to you. But that's why I like reality stars, because they are a lot more comfortable than like an actor.
Oh, actors are much worse.
When it comes
much
to worse. Yeah, because they are about the art and they want to talk about the project.
Yeah, there was one guy from a Netflix movie. I can't even remember which one because I was doing like 6 or 7 a week and I don't even remember the people. But he was so fun in this movie. He was like the main character and, you know, he was laughing and just like, and then he was just like, yep. Mm-hmm. It was great. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to talk to you for half an hour. I'm going to die. Like I cut it short. He was like, I thought we were doing enough. I was like 15 minutes. I was like, we got what we needed. I was like, go watch the movie.
We're
see
good.
Ya. Like, and I felt bad because he kind of seemed kind of shocked, but I was like, I cannot do this. Like, I am not getting paid for this. I was like, I'm out. It's not for me, but yeah, it's tough. I mean, interviewing is an art. So any of those commenters or people that think it looks easy, you can't do what we do unless you really put yourself in it. Cause you have to be vulnerable. You have to, and you also have to carry someone else's BS. So it's quite a lot. So I appreciate you for doing you, and we are loving the content.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
So before I let you go, I want to play a little game with you, and then we will end it on that note. This is my favorite question. So what is your all-time high Bravo moment, and what is your like low moment or like sad moment or moment where you're like, oh, we didn't really need that?
Oh, my all-time favorite will rewatch over and over again is Scary Island, the so trio good. Of season 3 Real so Housewives good. Of New York episodes. We owe every Real Housewives trip to that trip. They did not go on regular cast trips until
oh
that
my God,
happened.
You're right. Iconic.
We owe it all to, you know, Jill. Hello.
Hello. Hi. And Kelly Ben-Simone saying that Bethany's gonna kill her was my favorite.
Gonna but. Kill her.
And the cry on the bed. That all happened on that same trip. Mm-hmm. Was that
the cry on the bed?
Different?
The Ramona cry on the bed is the when they went to the desert.
Oh, you're right.
Season 4.
That's a different trip,
which is also an underrated trip. I know people don't love that season because of like the Cindy Barshop of it all, but it's like that trip is bonkers. Luann goes flying off the camel. Ramona does her bizarre hyperventilating cry on her back. Jill has like a snake on her head at one point. That's an underrated trip.
That is so funny.
And then low. I don't know that I have a low. I enjoy, like, I have such like, low threshold of like what I'm like, it's good, it's watchable. So I don't know that I have a low. There have been tough moments where it's like, geez, that I can't imagine what the person was going through. Like I go to when Vicky got the call about her mom and she collapsed in Shannon's craft room. That was a tough moment to watch. And then this season of Summer House when Carl found out about his brother.
Yeah,
that
gave
tough.
Me chills.
But those are
tough.
Also
but it's also not, I hate to say fun to watch, but it was like kind of cool they let us in for those very intimate moments. That's like a really intimate moment.
Right. And I think they're also like what makes people realize, oh, I am watching real life. Cause it's like, okay, we can have another bunko party and do a theme or whatever, or the murder mystery parties that seem to be, that's my low, murder mystery parties. I don't want to see another murder mystery party on
it's
these
so
shows.
It's so dumb. And it's always this like company that's trying to like get them to read, and they're all just trying to drink. They don't want to read laminated cards about who they are. I'm like, this is so stupid. I don't want to do it. And I'm a normal person. Why would I want to do it if I was a housewife? I'd be like, I'm not doing this shit.
I loved, they did one on, I don't know what it is. There's like, Bravo goes through these waves where it's like, it happens on all the shows at one time. Like everyone was axe throwing for a while, but in the murder mystery era that we're in right now on Below Deck Sailing Yacht, they were having a party and they had Captain Glenn sitting with them and he did not understand what was going on. And I did appreciate that because he was like, I don't,
I like Captain Glenn. Every time I talk to him, he's kind of like, why am I even on TV? Like, he's kind of just like, I don't care about any of this. And I was like, oh, you know, you want to update your Instagram. You don't post often. He's like, what? I don't care about this stuff. I'm like,
he's like, I just want
to, he just wants to sail. And that's what I love about him. Cause he just could. And I think all of the captains could give two shits about being on TV. All of them.
Yeah. For the most, I think of the three, I think Captain Sandy enjoys it the most, but I think they're all of their priority is
safety. It's all safety.
Like
it's all just safety and like just kind of being the fun police. So it's kind of funny. I'm not mad at that. I also want to ask you, Housewives, who would you, now that they're doing the All-Stars, but before when I ask this question, people are like, I don't know. Now everyone knows. So who would you take on a private island and who would you leave behind? It can be from any city. It can be from any Bravo show, Southern Charm, Vanderpump Rules.
So, oh my God, this is a huge question. I'm trying to think of like who's good on a trip, because that's what you need, someone who's good in that specific environment of a trip.
We were also on a private island, so they need to help out. You're stuck. I say deserted island. That maybe will help. Maybe that'll help you make your decision.
Okay, so we are back in 2011 on the Summer by Bravo commercial set, and we're stuck on the island.
Your Bravo knowledge is like a timeline. It's like Bravo Museum. I love it.
I don't know how our government works, but I can tell you everything about it.
Neither
Bravo.
Do I. Isn't there, it's judicial, legislative, and executive branch. Is that right? Okay. Can't believe I knew that.
You got it. Oh, wow. Opening it up to the full universe makes
it's kind of tough. Do you want to ruminate? I'll ask you my sexy question and then we'll come back to this. Why don't you think? I'm going to ask you about Mary F. and Kill. So, Mauricio, Drew's husband, which I don't know his name, Drew Sidara's husband, and Alex from Alex, and what's his name? Simon. Yes.
Oh, Simon.
I'm trying to make
Simon's
it easy for you to.
Well, yeah. I'm going to marry Mauricio.
Yes.
All the agency money.
Honey.
I guess I'm shagging Drew's husband, though he scares
Tampa,
me a
Tampa,
little bit.
Tampa.
Where was he all those days in Tampa? And then RIP
Simon. I mean, they gave him a lot of shit for being just a feminine man. Who cares?
Well, there are these like characters. I don't like calling them
caricatures,
but they are. People are. Yes, they're edited into what you see on TV, where it's like, if you go back and rewatch it, it wasn't as bad as you or as cringy as you remember it to be during the initial run. Because I think we just have been exposed to so many more people since like Simon and Alex's initial run that it's like, oh, I remember in those early seasons thinking, why are these people on this show? And now watching, if you go back and rewatch, you're like, oh, they were the show. They were the ones creating.
They were
moments.
And like the whole, remember the whole Herman Munster shoe comments? Like they were creating all of these memes and funny. I mean, there's still memes that like I still see about them. Like after all these.
Yeah, while you are in high school, I am in Brooklyn.
It's so good. Like those, so many good things.
There are all those little quotes that like, that's what I was telling Stephanie Holman.
I love her. She's
the last
so
time
sweet.
I talked to her, I was like, I just in my everyday life will just find myself going, oh, well now it's left my brain. What the hell is the quote?
When you were in high school, I was in Brooklyn. That one?
No, so that's Alex. But for Stephanie, it's from the first season when Leanne Locken is about to storm out and like punch the trolley. Oh, Stephanie turns to the wall, grabs a brick wall and goes, she's crazy. And I just always whisper that to myself, like out of nowhere.
Oh, Leanne. Oh, I just thought about all the things she sent me. Leanne. Anyways. Yeah, it's a lot. Anyways, she's very upset about the reunion. If you didn't clue that by the way I reacted.
Oh, I've seen by what she's posted. Mm-hmm.
But she's so lovely to gay people. So I always try to separate all the, you know, the yelling from kind of the lovely things she tries to do. So anyways, it's going to make me sad to talk about her. Anyway, let's go to back to the desert island if you have our answer.
Okay, back to the island. I'm going to bring, I'm going to bring two ladies from every city. And that's the parameters I'm going to give myself. So I'm going to bring Vicky and Tamara. Iconic trip moments, Vicky peed on the bed. So we need good. More of that. All right, so now we're going up the coast to Beverly Hills. I'm going to bring Rinna and... I'm going to bring Rinna... Or do I go deeper? And do I bring like... No, I was going to say Brandy and Kim, but I'm too scared about that. So we'll bring Rinna and Kyle, because I think Kyle is like the voice of reason for Beverly Hills. Like I did the BravoCon panel for Beverly Hills, and it was in the middle of them filming the Denise Richards season, and Kyle wasn't there for it. And they were like, every time they didn't want to answer a question, they were all looking around like, who's going to answer this? I was like, I wish Kyle were here because she would probably answer this. And so I think she's a necessary force. All right. So now we're going over to
Dallas. I like
your
Rinna choice because I kind of feel like they missed out on getting Rinna on this season of the island show.
Well, like the rumors were that she was maybe sort of gonna possibly show up and then didn't. And we know she hasn't turned down money, so it couldn't have been like
scheduling.
There had to be some other reason. Yeah, because they are still. I don't think people realize when Housewives are in production. I mean, like they're in production through while they finished filming this season, like in January, they're doing confessional interviews every couple of weeks until they film.
No, I didn't realize that because Contessa told me even with Married to Medicine, they film 6 days a week. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, these women are, it's
not worth the money.
On paper, it looks like a 3 month job, but it's like a all year. Oh, yeah. And the exposure and all the things. All right. So now we're in Dallas. I'm going to bring Deandra and Tiffany because I enjoyed them the most of this most recent season. And I think they're a fun duo. And they can like drunkenly FaceTime Mama D. All right. So now we're moving over to Atlanta. I'm gonna bring Portia.
Fallon and Fallon. I'm just kidding.
Ladies, hash it out in the bungalow. I'm like, who would Portia get along with? I feel like she's
Portia.
Not getting along
she's
with
really
a lot
not.
Of people.
I mean,
on
I guess Candy,
right,
but that's kind of could get contentious.
But Candy is, you know what? Candy's good in a group setting. Think about like Nene's pajama party where she wanted to like go at it.
Yeah, that was a lot.
So, okay, we'll bring Portia and Candy. All right, now we're up in Potomac.
I love Potomac.
We're bringing Karen. Because it's like that when she was drunk and talking about Ray's, you know what, not working.
That was good.
such a journey.
And the editing of that and scene, Giselle, guys, oh my God, the blurring, like the blurring and the smoke.
Blurring of it, like, yes.
Oh my God, it's too much.
I'm bringing Karen and Giselle because if they're on a deserted island together, they need to hash it out, get to a good place.
Okay, I kind of want to come on your trip. This is fun. Okay.
All right, now we're up to New Jersey. I think they got it right with who they brought from New Jersey, Melissa Perfect. And Teresa.
Smart.
So we'll keep that. And then New York, Ramona and Sonia.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Sonia's daughter, by the way, I just followed Quincy. I'm like obsessed. She's beautiful.
I want to know what inspired Quincy to like become a public person after all these
beautiful.
Years.
She looks like Mamie Gummer, kind of like she kind of looks like Meryl Streep's daughter, but like more model.
She does. Well, because she looks like a young.
Yeah, she's Sonia. Like so beautiful. I mean, Sonia's really beautiful too. Like, so I'm not surprised by that, but it's just, yeah, it's really funny. When all the kids were on Bravo, they were asking about, I don't know who they asked, and they asked Avery if she hangs out with Quincy, and she was like, no.
But she will get her on Cameo. If she wants to be on Cameo, Avery can get her on Cameo, because you know Avery works
she
at Cameo.
She does? That's some good tea. Yes. That's some good tea. She's seen some of my cameos where I'm insane. Sorry, Avery. what about Salt Lake City? Anyone you want to bring from there?
Oh, I skipped the middle of the country. Whitney okay. and Heather.
Oh, I like that.
Bad weather. Spin the truth, destroy. It took me so long to figure out how Lisa got to weather until I was like, my dumb brain. Oh, Whitney.
Oh my God,
Heather,
I just
weather.
Got that right now when you said it. My mind just clicked. I hadn't really put it together.
Well, because she was like, Whitney Heather, bad weather, spin the truth, destroy. Like it was so wild that I was just like, what? Though I love Meredith Marks, her like the low energy on which she
and Brooks too, both
lives,
of them
I'm
is
like,
such low energy.
This is
it's like
I want to live on that wow. plane. Like that feels relaxing and
doesn't
good
it? It like makes you know what it does? It makes Kourtney Kardashian sound like she's yelling, which is like insane. It's insane. I love Bravo. That's amazing. Any of the Million Dollar Listing, or do you watch that show?
I dip okay. in and out. I like watch to cover it yeah. now and then. I love Ryan. Yeah. Yep. He's like a fun.
I love his
time.
Ass. I'm like, I love that show shows people's asses. Like, I'm like, what?
That amazing. Was the introduction to him was here's his naked
yeah,
butt in the shower.
It's pretty amazing. And all of them have shown their butt at some point. I'm like, is this just like, are they just trying? It's so interesting to me because I'm like, Bravo is so like for like women and gay men, but then like none of the shows really pander, but that one really is like, we're going to gay bait you for sure. And like, I'm okay with it. I'm totally fine with it.
Well, I think that's probably how they make up the, you know, dividend of that show isn't really drama fueled. They have like dramatic right. moments with like the deals not getting done or the Frederick Ryan feud, but they don't have, it's so much about the real estate and how they're selling it. So I think they toss those moments in to make sure the audience feels acknowledged. It's
we
like
see,
a wink.
Here's a booty.
Here's a wink with
I
an
ass. I love
that.
That should be on a shirt. A wink with an ass. I love that. That is amazing. Oh my God. What a good answer. Like that's a trip I want to go on. That sounds amazing.
It sounds chaotic.
I mean, that's what we want, right? Okay. Real quick, before I let you go, thoughts about Shaws of Sunset new season, Family Karma, any new shows? Apparently there's a show that they're shopping around about living in the south of Boston. Is that real or not? Like,
oh, I have not heard of that one. But I know they're like constantly casting and talking to people in different cities. And, you know, Bravo develops a lot of shows not as housewives and then they get turned into housewives. Potomac was that. Dallas was that.
What were they before? That's interesting. I didn't know that.
So Potomac, from what I remember, it was supposed to be, remember the first season was all about like, charity and this circle is exclusive and hard to get into. Apparently, like Karen, Giselle, and company are part of some organization or were that's in that area of black women that then the national board, I guess, didn't really want to be associated.
Once they saw what happened.
A reality yeah. show. Well, it was like, but I think it was even before. So then it kind of. But that's why the visually that first season doesn't look like Housewives. And same with Dallas. Dallas was Ladies of Dallas and was modeled after Ladies of
London. Oh, I see. I see. That's interesting. Actually, with Potomac, remember when Dr. Wendy was like, oh, I know Karen from the charity circuit. That's probably what she meant.
Right. I think they're all part of some, we're on boards and stuff together. So yeah, so I know they're constantly like testing the waters and casting, and then people get excited when they hear castings happening in Chicago or whatever, but it doesn't mean they're making a show. Shaza, I've seen the first episode, and my interview with Reza will be out. The first episode of the show will be out by this air. So I'll say this season of Shaz looks quite good. Reza and MJ made up off camera, which I think will be interesting how that plays out on the show, because cameras weren't around when they actually had their big conversation about how they were going
to
move forward.
It would be nice to have seen that, I think, because I've heard all that, because I'm friends with Nima and Mike, and I grew up with Gigi, so I kind of know a little bit of the drama, and my friend London is actually the new friend of, so I kind of know a little bit of the drama, but it would have been nice to, I think, as a viewer, to see it on camera, but...
Right. I think there'll be hints and winks and... Winks with asses, maybe.
I hope so. I mean, I'd love to see Shervin with us. He's adorable.
Shervin and Mike, both. Very
so
good looking.
Cute. And they both don't smell like... I'm Persian, so I can say this, but Persian men will douse the cologne, and they don't do that. So they smell normal, and like I think he uses Le Labo. So that I'm into. But, you know, again, that is... A show where, I mean, again, it's about the visibility. And I think I love that they kind of introduce Persian culture. And even with Family Karma, like I was talking to Anisha about it, like it's about like introducing people to different cultures, which I think they're doing it because I like that they show, yes, they introduce their culture, but also show that like everyone's a little cuckoo bananas. And we see the drama from no matter if you're white, black, Asian, Persian, Indian, you're going to be cray cray. So that's what I love about Bravo, where it kind of unites us in that. You know, drama.
Well, and it's, I love that how, I know Bravo had gotten a lot of heat over the years about like casts weren't integrated and whatnot. But when you look at like the television atmosphere, the map of it, Bravo is on the forefront of representation across the board. There have been queer people on Bravo for forever, black people, brown people, you know, Asian people, I think were the last kind of group that wasn't represented, but now are getting their due. And Crystal Kung Minkoff is gonna be a great housewife.
And her coconut water is delicious. And I honestly thought she was Rebecca Minkoff's sister or something. And I got really confused because I was like, I know Rebecca Minkoff is white. And then I was like super confused. But again, I think the Asian Persian representation, I know, and Indian is late because culturally, being Persian, even if you're a hot mess and you like, generally they don't want to be filmed, right? It's like the culture is like, I don't want to expose myself. And then Asian culture is also like that. So to find an Asian person that wants to be on reality is also kind of tough, not to play devil's advocate.
That's what I think people always need to remember. These people are on reality TV as a choice. Like this. So, and I think a certain kind of person is drawn to it.
Because it's not scripted either, Bryce, right? Like, if it's scripted, you need diversity because you're making a fake show. Like, but if you really want to bring people in, because when Bravo casts them and they're not really friends, everyone gets mad at Bravo. Why did you bring in this fake person? Well, you wanted the diversity.
Totally.
Like even Ciara, like, I felt like at times it was like, is she here because she's black and fitting? But then it's like, okay, there is the Luke connection. And then she did create a lot of drama. So it's like, okay. But when it feels sometimes forced, I'm like, that's not when it's good, you know?
Totally. Yeah, no, it's... I think that's why it also took this long to make some of these casts reflect the world, is because they were finding groups of people who, you know, like hangs with like. That's just
how
it works.
Or also when you live in Charleston, for example. Hello, doggy.
Sorry. Totally my dog's
it's
just
okay.
Went crazy.
I'll start that little piece over. We'll just cut that. It's like... When it comes to like, for example, Charleston, right? Like you are gonna like,
they're going in the other room now.
I'll wait.
All right. They should
You're totally fine. We're almost done anyway. It's totally fine. We love dogs. I think when it comes to like what you said, right? Like hangs out with like, and sometimes there's no opportunity for diversity, right? Like when you're living in Charleston, I think there's like not a lot of diversity, right? Like, so bringing in Leva, that took some time, right? Like, so it takes time to bring in the diversity that's natural. Like, okay, they would all party at her club and then now she's integrated. Like it kind of, and she really provided that show had so many levels to it because of her, right?
So many. And she had no idea that that's what she was signing up for, because she thought she signed on and Tiffany did too before you know, this kind of amazing racial reckoning we had in the last year and a half. They thought they were signing up for what we have known the shows to be, like partying, having fun, being a little wild. And then they were, I think, as a lot of, I don't want to speak for anybody, but I think as a lot of marginalized people are, forced to become the educators, even when they don't want to be.
That is absolutely what happens. And in you, even me, like, I'm white passing, but I'm still going to be Persian and Muslim and queer. People are going to still want educations for free. And that's, and you know, even when like Cameron was kind of schooling Tiffany, it kind of gets really dicey because then it gets into white splaining. And then it's like, it's hard because, you know, as a comedian, for me, I can make fun of Muslim people and say terrorists on stage. But when a white person does it, it's not funny, right? There is like, there is a level of, it's, or gays. Like when a gay comedian makes fun of gay people, I'm kind of okay with it. But when a straight white dude does it, I'm like, excuse me, sir. Like, why are you picking on a community that doesn't really need to be picked on? So yeah, it's kind of, it gets kind of complicated. And again, like you said, a lot of the housewives, especially during this pandemic, wanted to just get away from their house and like get out. And then all of a sudden you're now the educator or having to kind of say, oh, you can't say that. Or, you know, I get a lot of DMs from Bravo people too, who say things like, oh, I didn't really like, I thought Muslims were scary, but then I followed you and you're so funny. And I'm like, you really can't say that. Like, and then I have to educate, because if I don't educate, they're going to go to someone else and say that. Right. So it gets really complicated.
Right. It gets complicated, but that's also the messy part that people don't want to ever talk about, is unless you tell somebody or show them, they're not going
to
do better.
And they don't know to do better. Like, I love when, like, for example, like Lori Loughlin's daughter, Olivia Jade, was on Red Table Talk. And, you know, the grandma was like, girl, like, we're not going to help you figure out your white privilege. Like, sometimes it's like important to like ask for help. And then it's also important for people to be like, I'm not doing the work for you, but I'm going to kind of direct you in the right direction. Right. Like, and especially, I always say, if people come, like, it was someone from Dallas, like one of the, they came to me and they were like, can you explain this like Muslim stuff? And again, right now everyone's talking about that. So like, I'm fine explaining it. As long as your heart is in the right place, like, if you don't come at me sideways, like, most people of color or queer people are willing to listen if you're not coming at them in a weird sideways kind of way, right? It's just your approach.
Right. I think what I've learned in the last years, it's like, ask informed questions. You know, don't come and say, what's this? Explain it to me. Say, I've tried to figure this out. Here are the questions I have still about
exactly
that.
And it's just about kindness and too. You know, when you go up to a trans person, don't go, are you post-op or pre-op, what's between your legs? Like, just kind of think about what you would want someone to ask you about. Like, it's
how wild is it that, like, in the era of daytime TV that we grew up in, it was normal to like do a freak show kind of setup
around trans people. Like Maury, I remember coming home from school and like sneaking away to watch it, because it was like, it was so taboo. And like, you know, even, I mean, RuPaul, one of RuPaul's songs, you know what it is, I'm not going to say it, but like, you know what it is. Like, so there's like, and that's not very long ago, right? And so I think it's, and again, a lot of Bravo stars teeter on the edge of cancel culture, of course, like they're about to get, they say really dumb shit, but they also, they know PR. Like when Bethany speaks on Meghan Markle right before the interview and starts saying stupid stuff, like she knows that people are going to then listen to her podcast. Like people are like, I have to realize that even when you hate someone, they trend. So they're getting their message out there, even with the hate. Right. So that's how it works. That's good PR. Like, we used to do that with clients that people didn't like them, and they would use that to their benefit. They'd be like, people hate me, then I'm going to tweet something cray cray and I'm going to set everyone on fire, and then be like, watch my new TV show. It works. Like you might not like it. It might not feel good, but it works. Like when Chrissy Teigen says crazy things on Twitter, like people then go and buy her cookbook. Like, I mean, it's not rocket science. Like,
right. All press is good press. There's a reason that statement exists.
Yep. You learn it the hard way. Like I said some things about Michael B. Jordan. I was on Heather McDonald's podcast that like was like wildfire. It's not always great, but it gets you opportunities. It opens doors. Like people want to meet with you that would never have taken a call from you. I mean, it works. Like, so again, I'm not saying go out there and never lie, but if it's your truth, then you can kind of say it. I mean, again, be willing to take the backlash. But yeah, I don't know. We're going on a tangent, but you feel me.
Yeah, we've taken a left down a different street.
Let's turn back around. I really just wanted to thank you so much. I've had so much fun. I feel like a lot of my podcasts are about like homophobia and racism and dismantling white supremacy. So it's just refreshing to like be able to talk about Bravo and still get deep, but be able to kind of have some fun as well. So I really appreciate you for that.
Yeah. We're not changing the world with harsh
conversation. In some ways we are, because I think that there is a level of like just seeing, like, I don't remember ever seeing badass women on TV that were not on like Dallas or, you know, or like soap operas. So it's kind of cool to see like women like not depending on men, right? Like that's kind of inspiring. Like even Melissa with Joe being like, I don't need your chauvinism. Like I can do this on my own. That's Bravo. Well, that's kind of cool.
And for them to be like in their 40s, 50s and beyond, and not, you know, a 20-year-old playing an 18-year-old
exactly.
on a CW show.
And also seeing the wrinkles and the plastic surgery and shitting on the ground or what, you know what I mean? Like showing women a kind of like hot mess and like it kind of being okay to be old, because a lot of those women, if they were actresses, it would be really hard for them to get jobs, but Bravo's kind of employing them. And even the way they uplifted like queer people, yes, of course, like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy could be caricature at times, but at the same time, it gave visibility to like, I'm friends with Jay Rodriguez today. Like, he's like, I was a brown kid on TV, like that I would have never gotten that job, right? So Bravo has done some amazing things. Again, no network is perfect. No network is a monolith. So they're working in the right direction. And right. I think people like you are uplifting the stars of that show and doing your own thing. So again, thank you so much for being on The Take On with me. I appreciate you. Just tell us quickly where people can follow you and see all of your lovely interviews.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. And I am at Bryce Sander, BRICESANDER.
Everyone. Love it. Spell it away. If I start spelling things, I always misspell, even if it's my own name. So good on you for spelling it right. I love it. Well, thanks again for being here. Everyone, go and listen to Bryce's interviews. They're informative, they're fun, and especially Ramona's really gave me a nice giggle. So go check it out. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Take On. The Take On is produced by Dori Berenstein and Alan Seals, edited by Kyle Moore, and is a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You can find out more about me and The Take On at bpn.fm/The Take On, and of course on my Instagram at Amir Yass Official. Yes, honey, we're official. Make sure to subscribe and rate The Take On wherever you stream your podcast, and keep tuning in for more amazing guests.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.